is cross. Everybody knows the war is over.
Welcome to Advices Radio, presented by Nabs Gear. I'm your host, Scott McNally. When we talk about Boston Lloyd, it's oftentimes in relation to extreme gear use. And this is for good reason. Several years ago, a young guy named Boston Lloyd showed up on the bodybuilding scene. He was claiming to use several times more the amount of PEDs than what a lot of people would consider to be average. The doses that he talked about were much higher than people I knew that were competing on the national level, and even some pros. Not only was he talking about this stuff, but he was doing it publicly. At the time, I feel like steroids weren't as taboo to talk about as they had been in the past, but they still were a taboo subject. I feel like today it's even less taboo than it was 5 years ago, but it still was shocking to a lot of people. This sparked a lot of controversy, and Boston quickly became a very polarizing personality in the scene of bodybuilding. Let's not forget, though, Boston's experiments may have been reckless, but he also was a younger guy. How many of us can say that we didn't do some crazy stuff when we were 21 years old? I get the feeling, though, that Boston's changing. I see that his goals are different. I mean, he's not trying to be a pro bodybuilder anymore, and I have to wonder if his perspectives have changed, too. I have to admit that even I myself still kind of hold him to the things he said when he was 21. I mean, I've said things like, oh, that's a Boston Lloyd-style cycle, and it's a derogatory thing, and honestly, I don't know if that's fair of me. I don't know if that's fair of us as a society to keep somebody in that box of who they were when they were 21. During the interviews that we've heard with Boston, of course, a lot of times it has gone to the extreme gear use, and I think that that's the easy direction to go. And I'm sure that we're going to talk somewhat about his gear use today, but I really wanted to focus on something more. I know that Boston has worked with a lot of different coaches. I know that Boston knows that nutrition is extremely important to reach your goals. He's not just a dumb kid who's just like banging gear and that's it. He's got a method to his madness, and he's teaching himself. He's teaching himself through self-experimentation, and he's learning from a lot of great people. I mean, he's 24 years old now, and in this time, he's had a number of really high-end coaches, and he talks to a number more. All the time, he's reaching out to people about employing new methods to his plans and trying to better learn his own body. I feel like this is an aspect of the Boston Lloyd story that's been neglected. David Johnston took his interview with Boston in this direction here on Beyond Driven at Advices Radio. He presented Boston as an experimenter and a pioneer of his own body. And I'd like to do the same. So today, let's talk to Boston and see what he's learned from all the different coaches that he interacts with. Before we get started, cliff notes on the next episode of Advices Radio. I'll be speaking to an anonymous chemist that produces gear for UGL Labs. This is not going to be a how-to podcast. This is going to be an education on the chemicals, carriers, and solvents that some people choose to put in their bodies. All right, let's get to Boston.
Everybody knows it's coming upon. Take one last look at this sacred heart before it blows. And everybody knows. Everybody knows.
So with all that said, today I have with me Boston Lloyd. Boston, how you doing today, man?
Good, man. Very good.
Glad to have you here. You are you're a man of much controversy.
Yeah, that's for sure. It's died down a little bit over the years, you know, as time goes by. But yeah,
why do you think this has followed you? Because I feel like, you know, a few years ago, you know, you were saying some controversial stuff. I feel like you may have toned down a little bit, though. Am I right in reading that? Well,
another reason I've toned down is because more people are coming out and being open with it. Before it was just me, you know what I mean? And like nobody else, everyone was like, you're going to get arrested, you know, this and that. And then they saw how much attention it drew. And then they said, wow, if that drew, you know, brought so much attention, why don't I come out and do that? So a lot of people started doing it. And who knows, a lot of people tell what I call, like to say, the half truths.
Sure.
They'll say part of what they do. Some people straight out lie, but they will still talk about it because they know drug talk will bring attention.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes total sense. You know who I've noticed recently, in bodybuilding media has been, Tony Huge. Have you been following him?
Yeah, he's actually coming down here in February, and we're gonna shoot together.
Oh, no kidding! What do you think about his? I'll call it antics almost. What do you think about what he's portraying right now in bodybuilding?
I've only seen a few of his videos, and like I like it. I honestly like it. Like, you know, some of the stuff obviously that he has that guy Trevor working with him.
Yeah,
I like it because it just brings more interest to bodybuilding, and you know what I mean. Like it. People who have zero knowledge about drugs could watch videos and, you know, gain some knowledge. And I think it's good.
Okay.
But at least the videos I saw, I only saw one of him like testing GH and a few other ones. That's about it.
Okay. Yeah, I've only seen a few of them myself. But, I mean, I had heard of some stuff he was doing. I think one of the videos it was the one where he was talking about using like a gram of DMP.
Yeah, that's insane, man. I'm on DMP as we speak, and like I'm on 250 megs.
Okay, how long you been running that for?
I'm on my fourth day now, and then at the 1 week mark, I bump it up to 500. But I'll never go past 500. I believe in smaller doses of a drug like that because if you take too much, you can't train, you can't function.
Yeah.
I'd rather take a small dose for a longer period of time.
What's a longer period of time on DMP for you?
14 to 20 days.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. Now, as far as putting information out there goes, how do you feel as far as like your responsibility? Now, you could say whatever you're doing, you could tell people, you know, whatever doses you've taken in the past, whatever doses you're taking now, that doesn't mean that anybody out there, any young kids that are listening to you are forced to follow your direction. You know, it's always their choice, but do you feel responsible in any way? Like maybe some, 20-year-old kid is going to start running, you know, a bunch of tests. Let's say they start with a gram.
You'd be surprised, man. A first cycle, I always recommend 500 megs of test, and I've always said that multiple times. But okay. saying that, I think a lot of people get scared. I've had so many emails of kids saying, well, thank you for, you know, I wanted to be a pro bodybuilder, and I didn't know you had to take drugs. Like, people think that, like, Phil Heath is natural. Like, they don't, they're like, wait, they're like, the Olympia's tested. How can they take stuff? And I'm like, no, it's not tested. Okay. Like, people are that naive because all they see is the magazines of, you know, Jay Cutler promoting muscle tech back in like, you know, the early 2000s. They say Phil Heath in the magazines promoting, you know, Ultimate Nutrition.
Yeah.
Anybody with a brain would know that like these guys are switching off, like, you know, companies. Like Phil Heath was just with Gifted. Now he's with, you know, like they're just going. They just go from company to company, whatever fits them best. And it's like, oh, now this is the best product. Now this is the best product. Like I feel like anyone with a brain would understand that the supplement industry is really a scam.
Yeah. I do think, you know, man, I know you've received some flack for coming out and saying the things you're doing, but you know, I'm trying to look at all sides of this, I guess, in a way, you know, kind of breaking these taboos and making this to be, you know, acceptable talk. I mean, you really do kind of dispel some of those myths.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, there's only a few guys, man, I could count with my hands. That have been like top like freaks. And like honestly, like you said, man, you could be a good national level bodybuilder. You could be a light heavyweight bodybuilder. You could be a great middleweight, GoPro, great lightweight, and run very small dosages. But that's not my goal. Like I like the freak look. So like if people think that the guys on the Olympia stage that are battling it out, you know, are on minimal dosages, you know, they're just wrong.
Right on. So, you know, we've also, like a lot of times when you're interviewed, I feel like it always goes to this. We always go to the gear. But, I mean, there's so many more aspects to bodybuilding. And I know that you're a fan of the sport in its entirety. You've had a lot of coaches, haven't you? Like, you've hired a lot of different guys.
I've spent at least $15,000 on coaches.
That's like a legitimate college education right there.
Yeah. I've spent a ton of money on coaches for sure.
Now let me ask you, why have you gone into so many different directions to look at so many different perspectives like this? What's been your reasoning?
I was even close to hiring George Farah for $5,000 like a year ago. I was real close to it.
Yeah.
I just want to learn every aspect and see what everyone's kind of philosophy is. I've only worked with like big name guys.
Okay.
I started off with Dave Kalik. I know you know who he is. I started out with him when I was 19. And then it kind of just went from there, man. I started talking. And even though sometimes I haven't really been coached by, you know, so many, I've actually picked a lot of brains of people. And I've always paid. Like, I always pay, like, for example, like, I paid Dave Pusinella to train me. And I got the plan. And I knew I wasn't going to be able to follow it.
Okay.
Because it was too complex. I'm more of a simple guy. And I just took the information. I studied it. And I gave him the 800. And, I didn't follow it. But, I mean, I've paid people for information that I've actually never even tried myself just to read it. You know what I mean?
Okay. Interesting. So what about Dave's plan to you felt like it didn't fit?
Dave Kalik?
No, you said Dave Pulsinella. You said that you...
Oh, Dave Pulsinella. Yeah. It was just too complex. Like, it was just way too many different food sources, like prepping. And that's the same thing with Kalik. When I prepped with Dave Kalik, he had me doing, like, for instance, like one meal would be two whole eggs.
Yeah.
4 ounces of ground beef, like 3 ounces sweet potato, and like a quarter cup of oats, like for one meal.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally, I'd have like 7 bags of food in my fridge prepping, and I don't think it needs to be that, because I've tried that. Don't get me wrong, I've done that, and it works. Trust me, it works. But you know, as long as you're fitting it with clean calories. But I've also done the basic method, like Dave Palumbo, yeah, you know, recommends, and it's worked better. And not only, and when I say better, I think better because you can keep doing it longer without getting burnt out.
Yeah. I mean,
you're not overtraining your foods. You're not pushing food to the point where you want to puke every meal. That kind of stuff. That's the shit that I always like to look at. Cause like when a client tells me that they're force feeding, I know something's wrong. Cause in my opinion, you shouldn't ever be able to force feed. Like your body should want to eat.
I wish that were true for me. My appetite is so terrible. I have to fight and struggle just to like keep it up and be ready for my next meal. But you know,
how many calories?
It varies, but I've gotten up to 8,000 at my peak.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm not even anywhere close to that right now. But yeah, I have a fast metabolism too. And I've heard about Dave's diets, Dave Kalik, that He does like to combine different things. So his idea is that he's getting different qualities, say, from beef, and then, you know, adding the eggs to get a unique effect from that, and then combining the two amino acids, huh?
Yeah, like honestly, now I was young. I was 19 when I hired him, and like I won that show that he had me do, but I lost. You know, he cut my trend in my test out 2 weeks out, and I lost like 12 pounds, 15 pounds or whatever. But as far as with Dave Kalik, he literally, one of my meals was like 2 ounce fish, 2 ounce chicken, like two whole eggs, and like a cup of it was just too much, man. I was like, there's no – and like back then I just followed it because I thought maybe everyone was doing that.
Yeah. Well, and I could see too, for like a 19-year-old, maybe that wasn't the most ideal thing.
Well, like I lived – you know, I lived eating sleep bodybuilding at the time still, so it wasn't a problem. I did everything he told me to, but it was just like, now, man, I wake up, I have two egg meals, one steak meal, one chicken meal, and two shakes, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And like, it's just simple. I keep my carb sources the same. I'll do sweet potatoes for 2 weeks or brown rice for 2 weeks. And, you know, whenever I get burnt out of that carb, I simply switch the source. I don't want to have to prep all these different carbs.
Sure. Yeah, no, that makes total sense. I have a client right now who he's doing this really complex training plan, and he's a pretty young guy, like 20 years old. And, you know, he still could use like a ton of development still. He's only like 160. I think he could get away with something a lot more simple. And the way I explained it to him was like, if you punch in directions on your phone and then you follow those directions, sometimes it'll take you up like 7 side streets and you have to make 3 lefts to get to somewhere where you could have just gotten on like the main road and gotten there just as quick, you know?
Yeah.
And that makes sense. So how many coaches have you hired? Do you know the number offhand?
So let's say Kalik, Palumbo, Pusinella, Akim Albrecht, who I just recently worked with, Mike Arnold. There's been more too. John O'Regan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's been quite a bit, man. Like I picked the brains of many more. You know what I mean?
Right on.
Yeah, so I've worked with everyone basically in every different method, and it's just and besides working with a man, I've actually paid people that have worked with like Chad Nichols,
okay.
And I've paid people that work with Hani, and I've paid people that work with other coaches to send me their plans. And just so I could read it, I don't want to follow it because it's designed for somebody else. But yeah, man, I've actually paid people to actually see their plan. So I have like Chad Nichols' off-season and pre-contest plan and all that good stuff.
No kidding. Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard anybody talk to you about this stuff before.
No, I just like to read, man. Like, I really do like to read. Like for instance, I stay at home all day with clients and I'll go on and I'll research, you know, certain different peptides that people are talking about and just in general.
What's new and unique right now? What's happening that I should know about?
Well, I think people are getting crazy into these SARMs, and I've only tried a couple of them just because when I read up about them and like people, you know, people who usually get great results off these SARMs are like on really either low doses of steroids or females.
Yeah.
But the drug that's really getting popular right now, especially my peptide site, we're selling a ton of it, is the MK677. I'm sure you've heard of that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm using that right now. How do you like to dose that?
I just 25 a day for 4 weeks and then take at least 2 to 3 weeks off. Because I don't know if you noticed, there's a little bit of water retention with it.
Oh, yeah. Now, one of my co-contributors here at Advices Radio, S2H, he's from the Blood, Sweat, and Gear show. He says that he does not like to use that while taking growth hormone. He feels like it's just way too much water. What have your results been?
You've been using it at the same time?
Yeah.
I see a lot of people doing like GH in the morning and pre-workout and then doing an MK677 dose pre-bed.
Okay.
Now, people that have like who can't do it because their appetite gets too crazy in the middle of the night, I would actually probably do the MK in the morning and then pre-workout and then pre-bed I'll do the GH. It really depends because some people, their appetite goes nuts on that stuff and they can't, they'll like binge in the middle of the night. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
So if you want to take you know, the appetite part of it, I would just use it in the morning.
Right on. Yeah, I found, or I should say what he found is a lot of guys tend to be gaining just too much water because, I mean, I'll gain a few pounds from the MK, but he was saying like he'll gain, you know, several pounds from the MK and then several pounds from the GH and before you know it, he can't even train.
Yeah, see, and the water gain is kills your appetite too because when your body's holding all that extra weight, you know what I mean? Your body's like, what the hell if you put on all this weight? That's why I'm like a big believer in like only gaining like max like a pound a week at most. Because I think if you do any, obviously if you're at a post show rebound and you're blowing up, that's different. But I'm saying once you're gotten that rebound and you're putting on weight, I feel like a lot of these guys push the weight too crazy because they're too worried about the scale, and then their appetite goes to shit, and then everything goes downhill from there.
Yeah, I could see that. What are your thoughts on YK11 while we talk about the SARMs?
Actually, it's funny, man. I'll be honest with you. I have no, like, research on that.
Okay.
I don't even carry it on my peptide company, like, peptide site. I've gotten some requests and stuff, but I'm just so not into the SARMs. Like, I've read about them all. Don't worry. Don't get me wrong. And the only things that I really sell are the MK677 and the Ostrine. Not only because I like what I read, but because of the reviews of people that used it, you know what I mean?
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I've heard that that YK11 is, it's basically like a steroid. I mean, as far as effect goes, I ran it for about a week and it totally destroyed my appetite. It was like taking Anadrol for me, basically.
Yeah. See, Anadrol kills my appetite too. See, anything that kills your appetite like that when you're trying to grow, it's just not even worth it.
Yeah. It's funny, man, because, you know, I'm sitting here talking to you and a lot of times, like I said, you know, people are looking at you as this outrageous guy, but I mean, what you're saying to me right now sounds pretty down to earth.
Well, like you said before, like I matured a lot. Like I was 21. I was renting a one bedroom apartment. I was selling drugs. I was pretty much single. Like I had a girlfriend, but it wasn't serious. Now I got like four dogs that I consider my kids. I'm engaged. Like you know what I mean? I'm a homeowner. It's a lot different now.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense, man.
But like my views haven't changed on I think people do underplay gear. And don't get me wrong, I've always preached nutrition is first because without that, you're not going to go anywhere with anything.
Yeah.
But I think gear is underplayed big time. Nobody wants to tell you what they do. Nobody wants to give out their secrets. And which is stupid, because if somebody goes out there and says, hey, I you know, these pros are taking 3 grams a test and, you know, a gram a trend, I really don't think people are going to be like, okay, you know, I'm gonna try that. And first of all, even if they did try that, they'll probably burn out right away, and they don't have the genetics to get the development anyways.
Sure, sure. You know, a while back you had said that, you know, the gear was super important, the diet was super important, and at the time, this is when you were like 21, you said that training was maybe 5% or 10% of the equation. Do you still feel that way?
Well, like I put it like this, I say you need to train. Obviously, you definitely need to hit the muscle and get out of the gym. That's that. And if you don't do that, forget about it. But saying that, I think I could look better than majority of people in the gym, 99% of people in the gym, with just drugs and nutrition if I didn't train. But saying that, obviously, to build, you know, lots of tissue and shit like that, and you know, have a hard appearance, you got to train. But people take it like overboard. Like when I get people that think that training is like you have to get super technical with it. Like, look, I stick to 3 to 4 compound movements. I hit it hard and quick. My best workouts are done in like 45 minutes. Like mm-hmm. I hit my back. Like if I have no distractions, 45 minutes for back, I destroyed it. Like I'm just like so sore, and like I've gotten my best results because I used to train for like an hour and a half to 2 hours, right?
Yeah.
And then when I hired Dave Palumbo, he switched me to the low volume, high intensity, which is the same shit, the same plan I follow now, the same plan that I recommend to my clients. And man, right away I blew up. Same with Ariella. She used to train high volume. Switched to Dave. Dave lowered her drugs big time. Put her on a low volume. A low volume, high intensity, like 6 to 10 reps max. And man, we both exploded.
Okay. So maybe, you know what, man, and maybe it's semantics, but it sounds like you're telling me training is important. It's just that the right training is important.
Yeah, it's definitely important. You need it. Don't get me wrong. You definitely need training. It's not that. But I think people overcomplicate it. Like all these people that, you know, these pros, you know, because they can't talk about drugs and they have to
promote
supplement companies. They try to get, you know, crazy into training. So like when kids ask me like, oh, well, you know, what kind of exercise, like stick to the compound movements, you know, for back, you do your pull-ups, you do your barbell rows, you do your deadlifts, you do your seated rows, and you do your one arm dumbbell rows, and that's it. And, you know, bench press, you know, pick 3-4 exercises, switch it up every week, hit it hard. I think people just overthink the training part.
Yeah. You know what too? And I'm going to say that I would totally agree with you for the first 5 years of my training. And after that, it has gotten harder to continue developing. So I would say, yeah, if you were to get in the gym and you're just to hit everything and hit it hard, that at least for that first 5 years, I agree with you. And then maybe that's where I would not agree as much as people start getting to that higher end of development after they've already developed like the majority of what they're going to gain and they want to continue pushing it further. That's where I feel like I started getting into like the mountain dog ideas and now, you know, some of the fortitude ideas. I feel like those things are helping me find a way to increase that intensity to still create like a new stimulation.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Like me and Dave Palumbo we've had this talk many times about high volume and shit. And like no disrespect to what's the guy who runs Fortitude?
Scott Stevenson.
Yeah, man. Like besides this, the one guy he trains, Jordan Peters, that's like thick as hell. Like I've talked to a decent amount of his clients, man. They haven't grown. He's not a big guy himself. You know what I mean? He's very grainy and he comes in awesome condition, but he's not really a big guy. You know what I mean? Like I'm talking about building like insane amount of muscle, like big ass dudes. If you like talk to big dudes, it's always heavy weight, 6 to 10 reps, compound movements. Look at Dallas McCarver. You know, he's working with Chad Nichols. He's doing just strict compound movements and he's exploding.
I have a feeling Dallas would be huge no matter what he did, to be honest.
Correct. He's a big guy in general. Correct.
No, I have seen other big guys. Dave Smith, he was, you know, he's with Geared Up. He does fortitude training too. So,
yeah, no, he just started that though. Like, cause I did an interview with him and Johnston and they, like, he hasn't done that his whole life. You know what I mean?
True. True. All right. You know what is it? And as far as coaching goes, you know, back to that topic, a lot of times I see, you know, some coaches say that they've got this unique approach and I feel sometimes that that's like a sales ploy almost to say like, come to me, I've got this secret. out of all the coaches you've worked with, do you find that, that they're all very different, or are there more similarities than differences?
More similarities. That's why I stopped hiring coaches, because it's like nothing that I don't know. But saying that, like, you'll get guys like Kalik that'll probably like want to come up with something unique, even though it's not necessary.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Okay. And they'll try to be different from the pack. You know what I mean? But it's just not necessary. I feel like your best coaches, like I work with a Kim Albrecht just recently, and I made very good progress under him. Like, very good, because I followed everything to a T. I checked in with him. Everything was followed to a T.
Yeah.
And he was very good, man. Like, and the only reason I stopped hiring him is because I knew all that. The only problem is it's hard to apply it sometimes to yourself when you're training like 100 plus people. You know what I mean? You just kind of fall off. So I wanted somebody to keep me there. The thing with a Kim is I listened to that interview you did with Colette Nelson.
Yeah.
When he has insulin in your body, he pulls fat completely. So he'll do like 3 high days a week where your fats are like super low, but your insulin is like, you know, pretty high.
Mm.
And the other days are moderate fat, moderate carb, you know, high protein.
How did that affect you?
I responded very well to his plan. Like it worked well. I've also used fats with insulin, and I responded very well.
Hmm.
You know, I just, that's the biggest question I have in bodybuilding is insulin with added fats. Like,
yeah,
that's a question that everyone just fights on. You know what I mean? Dave Plumbo and Colette, you know, they always said, it doesn't matter. You could have, you know, you're not going to get fat by eating fat. I've talked to the majority of diabetics I've talked to said you won't get fat using insulin, you know, with fats.
Right.
But then you get these guys that pull fats completely when they use insulin. So I don't know.
I found that for me, it was like I just wasn't getting enough calories when I had the fats out. I needed those fats to be able to push my calories up high enough to kind of like just sustain myself.
Well, and like fats slow everything down. So
yeah.
I feel like it would slow the insulin down, which post-workout you wouldn't want. That's why I don't believe in fats directly post. But other than that, I don't know why anyone would cut the fats out of their diet.
Yeah, yeah. So personally, what have you witnessed as far as using the fats versus not using the fats with insulin?
I actually go hypo way faster when I don't use fats.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I don't feel as energetic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just more of a crapshoot because you don't have any fats to slow anything down. So if you know, once that insulin hits you, and if you don't have enough carbohydrates in your system, forget about it. And I'm not the type of person that likes to slam a ton of carbs. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure. Yeah, no, I'm the same way, man. And the way I look at it is that, you know, we could sit around and argue things in theory all day, but I mean, when it comes to the real world, and I've seen the results on my own body, you know, that's what I'm going to go with. And so exactly. I kind of tend to lean towards what Colette was saying.
Oh yeah, for sure. And like, if you're having like a tablespoon of mac oil or like a 2 tablespoons of peanut butter, I mean, that's only like 15 grams of added fat. Could it really do that much?
Right. No kidding. So, you know, we've talked about a few of the coaches you've worked with. It sounds like Dave is one of them, Dave Palumbo.
Correct.
Who have you really connected with?
Like Dave I have, and then John O'Regan. Not because I wasn't able to follow John O'Regan's plan. It was just too much, man.
Yeah. And I don't know much about John O'Regan, and I knew that you're a big fan of his. So I did a little bit of reading before our interview here, but I didn't come up with a ton. So I figured I would ask you a little bit more about him.
I'm a big fan of his because he's like one of the he's like literally he's like 60 or 70. He's probably like closing in on like 65, 7 years old.
No kidding.
He's never competed before. He doesn't show his face. He's like a super like when I mean like the industry's full of scumbags, it is. And he's one of the guys that completely neglects a rule. He's a super nice guy wanting to help everyone. You know, if a kid comes to him and wants help and doesn't have the money, he'll help him out. Like, he flew all the way down to California to train me and Cody Lewis. You know who Cody Lewis was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And then I had to shove money down his pocket for him to take the money. I mean, he's just one of those guys.
No kidding. So what about his approach do you like?
Well, that's the thing, man. I don't like it.
No, really?
I don't. It's just too much, man. It's like I didn't last more than like 3 days on it. Now, don't get me wrong. He's changed big time. When I worked with him in 2013, it was 2013.
man, he was like crazy with drugs, like out of this world, you know, what he used to have like Dallas on and all that stuff. Okay. But now, when I send him people, like if people want John O'Regan's contact info, which I get that a lot, I'll send them his info and they'll tell me like, hey man, like, you know, he only has me on like 300 megs a test or whatever.
Really?
So he changed his approach big time. Like, yeah, he's really undercut the drugs. Like to the point where like, I'm like, is this even John anymore? So something clicked with him. Hmm. Maybe something happened. But when I was with him, man, it was just crazy.
Do you feel like that early exposure is part of what made you lean towards like the more aggressive side with drugs?
No, I was more aggressive before that.
Okay.
He's more aggressive in the way of like crazy IGF. Like the gear dosages were whatever. Like the orals were really high. But as far as the oils, they weren't really like too crazy. But the thing that caught me off guard, man, was the crazy amounts of like IGF, like 10 shots of IGF post-workout and shit.
Really? So he liked to like spread it throughout the muscle, huh?
Yeah, like insane, dude. Like he wanted me to sit in my car and like pin my hamstrings and sit with all my hamstrings and shit. Yeah, it was just too much.
No kidding. So what did an average, say, IGF dose look like?
Like 200 to 300 MCGs, but split into 10 shots.
No kidding, man.
That's how expensive that would get.
Not to mention, I mean, and I have never taken IGF at that dose before. I've always kept it pretty low. But I mean, everything I've always heard is that you get desensitized to a certain dose and over time that.
Yeah, I always run 2 weeks of 25 MCGs.
There you go.
And then 2 weeks of 50 MCGs, and then I come off for 2 weeks.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. I do something pretty similar. I'll do like 3 for 30 and then 3 for 60 and then 3 off.
And who knows? Maybe he was pushing the dose because he thinks it's all underdosed. I don't know.
Yeah. That's possible. Have you ever gotten your hands on like real pharmaceutical IGF?
Never. No.
Me either. I've always wondered though, because people have told me when they have gotten it that they say it's like a night and day difference.
Well, yeah. So Colette talked about that a little bit with you too.
She did. Yeah. She was one of them. I've had a handful of people tell me that now. I'll have to, it's something I really want to try sometime.
Yeah. And it's hard to get. And a lot of it goes bad too. Like the Increlex, if it's not stored properly. Yeah. I've had a lot of people that gotten Increlex and it's been shit because it wasn't stored properly.
So you said that you really connected with him. You really connected with Dave Palumbo. What did you like about Dave's approach?
I could still call John O'Regan right now and say, hey, John, I have a question for you. And not only would he get on the phone with me, I'd be on the phone with him for over an hour.
No kidding.
Like, just likes to help. So besides me not liking his protocols of like force feeding and like the point where you wanted to puke and being all bloated out of your mind, besides being that, and don't get me wrong, man, like his guys blow up. He put like 50 pounds of tissue on Tregilly and Dallas McCarver, and he blew up Cody Lewis when he worked with him.
Yeah.
So the force feeding and the crazy amount of drugs, man, you're bound to grow. You know what I mean?
Now, sure.
If you force feed like a fucking fatty and then you don't take many drugs and your growth hormone's low and you're not taking really any insulin to shuttle these things, I think a lot of these guys get sloppy. But because he makes sure his guys are on such high dosages of growth hormone, IGF, and all these drugs, they're able to keep a somewhat lean physique while eating all these calories.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, man. What did you like about Dave Palumbo's methods?
Just super simple.
Yeah.
Thing I don't agree with Dave is he preaches like 30 to 40 grams of added fat per meal.
Yeah, he's pretty high with the fats, isn't he?
Yeah, my fats were like 250 to 300 some days with his diet.
How did that affect your appetite?
In off season. Yeah, after a while, your appetite dies. Like, you could do it for, like, a couple weeks and shit, and then your appetite dies.
But then his carbs aren't quite as high either, are they?
No, his carbs are low. It's only about one cup of brown rice per meal.
Yeah, that's pretty low. Did it work, though?
No, yeah, I put on a really good size with Dave, man. Like, I said, from 2012 to 2013 when I won the Contra, I put on 26 pounds of stage weight, and I was actually in more condition. So in 1 year, I mean, it did work, you know what I mean? But it's funny, man. I haven't even been really consistent ever because I'm always moving. In the last like 3-4 years, I've moved like 4 or 5 times. I'm finally situated. But you know who was really good, man? And I really enjoyed working with him. He got me to my biggest ever. He got me to 280.
Who's that?
Pretty damn strong was Mike Arnold.
Oh, no kidding.
You've heard of him, right?
He
writes for Iron Mag.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's his alias name. Nobody even knows his real name. But yeah, man, he was, dude, he's good. Like, I like him, man, because he's not going to bullshit you. Like, He had me doing like Lantus insulin, like 100 IUs a couple times a week.
Okay.
And stuff. And he had me doing like lots of Humalog around my workouts. His diet, man, was like exactly what I preach. It's like a little bit of fruit, you know what I mean? A little bit of fruit, a little bit of veggies, and then like 15 to 20 grams of added fat per meal, and then about, you know, anywhere from a cup to a cup and a half of carbs per meal. Hmm. And I think that method, man, it worked great for me. I kept my appetite. I stayed lean. I was pretty decent at 280.
How old were you then?
22. Yeah, nice. 22.
No kidding, man. Yeah, that's a lot of weight.
Well, so I was almost 23.
All right. What are you weighing nowadays?
I took a full month off. I'm 266.
Okay.
But like when I mean 266, like it's a terrible 266. Like I've been to 266 like very lean before because I competed at, remember before I cut my water for my show, I was 245 the night before.
Okay.
And then I weighed in after I pulled my sodium, I weighed in at 238. I probably stepped on stage, who knows, after I pulled the water, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I don't believe in overdoing the diuretics. I do some diuretics the day before the show, but I don't touch any diuretics once the water's gone. Like I don't touch any diuretics on show day.
Yeah. I think that diuretics can mess the look up real fast.
Yeah. I make sure I cut them out at least 15 hours out before the show. So it gives you time for your body to fill out.
Okay. Are you still drinking water at that time? No, that's
the thing. And like, man, you should have saw the transformation from when I was 1 to 2 days out, man, like holding water and stuff.
Yeah.
With tons of sodium, you should see the transformation that I made in just like a 48-hour period of cutting my sodium, using diuretics, and then the next day just adding a little bit of sodium back in with condiments like ketchup and hot sauce.
Yeah.
But literally not one drop of water after 8 p.m. or no, 7 p.m. on a Friday night. I'm not kidding you, man. Like I was scared. I was like, wow, man, I'm not going to even be like conditioned. My glutes were not even in. I'm not kidding you, dude. Everything came together. I was just in shock.
Nice.
And that was supposed to be my warm-up. So I was just, you know, and I just don't believe on drinking water on show day. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. Like a lot of people do it and a lot of people like, you know, have had success with it. But for the normal people, a lot of people are sodium sensitive, man. I feel like you should actually cut the sodium out a day before.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's hard for me to agree or disagree because I feel like it's so relative to that individual and to like where they're at that particular time, you know, it's like everybody could be unique. I mean, I've had times where I've needed to pull sodium and other times where I feel like I just don't want to touch anything, like just freaking leave it. And I've been able to drink water like right into the show and, you know, but I can't tell everybody that that's like the only way to do it, you know?
Yeah. I've tried that. I kept water in one show. I looked so bad.
I guess for me, it was like I was so freaking lean that year that it's just like you looked in the mirror and you realize like this is as good as it's going to get. And I reduced it a little bit, but I left it in. But
you know what? I think if you're ultra shredded, it's not going to make the biggest difference.
Yeah.
But if you're at that borderline where you're lean as shit, like you could be, but you're not completely grainy, shredded like John Meadows.
Yeah.
You should probably make sure that every fluid is out of your subcutaneous because it might fuck your look up.
I would agree. Yeah. Yeah. That's true, man. So you've talked a little bit about some of the things that didn't work for you too, but the next question I had, of course, you know, I asked you, who did you click with? Who did you not click with?
Shit, man. Well, I mean, like I said, Dave Pusinella, great guy. We text, you know, occasionally. I didn't like the plan, so I didn't follow it.
Yeah.
But I click with him as a person. Like I like him and I think he's very old school, which I like a lot.
Yeah.
There had to be a coach that I hired that I like. I know there's at least one guy that I hired that I was like frustrated that I hired.
Okay. You know,
it'll come to me. It'll come to me.
All right. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Dave Pulcinella too. I do like that old school nature about him, that the six foods that work, you know, everything about Dave is just, I just love that stuff. Yeah.
The plan he wrote me, it wasn't pre-contest. So it wasn't those six foods. It was like a crazy, it was like a variety of like different stuff. It was just too much for me.
Ah, okay. You know what I have noticed, and this is something that I don't think is said very much about Dave Palumbo. I listen to everything he puts out, and sometimes the ideas he talks about on the radio and in public are very different than the ideas that I've heard him say specifically to his clients.
One thing, the one knock on Dave, the one biggest knock on Dave is he's too one-sided.
How so?
He's not willing. Hey Dave, what do you think about, you know, a low carb, you know, a high carb, low fat diet? It doesn't work. You know, and obviously it does work because a lot of people have done it and it's worked great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or Dave, what do you think about using Humalog? It's a shitty insulin for bodybuilding. Mm. What do you think about Lantus? It's terrible. He's too one-sided, like high fat, high protein, low carb, like, and then like the one thing I like though is his drugs are in my opinion are like pretty on point. Like what I prescribe to my client, what I tell my clients they should run is about what Dave tells his clients to run. You know, for a bodybuilder, about a gram and a half of test, you know, like, you know, about 700 mgs of trend, 300 in the off season, 700 pre-contest. So like everything, you know, Dave is drug wise, I pretty much agree with him, but I just wish he would have more of an open mind on the nutrition part.
Hmm. You know what? I don't think it's just the nutrition. I think he's found what works very well for him, you know, and the people that he's working with. And he's probably at an age where it's like he doesn't feel like he needs to learn anything new. Because I know, like with peptides, for instance, and the some of the newer generation things that are out there, he doesn't really know too much about them. And I don't feel like he's very open to learning about them either.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Like with Dave and stuff, like I think, like you said, it worked for him. So he thinks it works for everyone. But I've had many people that I've sent to Dave that came to me very upset. Like they got super fat, you know what I mean? They didn't like what, you know what I mean? So when you say all of his clients were pleased, I think Dave's pre-contest approach is awesome. It's going to work for almost anyone, okay? Now, his off-season approach with the high fats and the moderate carbs, a lot of people just get real fat.
Yeah. So but, all this stuff, everything you've taken in here, how has that helped you as a coach? Because you have a pretty decent handful of clients yourself, right? This is your full-time gig, right?
Yeah, I have a good amount of clients. Like I can make, even though I have other, like, even though I own a synthol company and a peptide company and all that stuff, like I can make a legit living just training people because I don't have any bills. You know, I just stay at home and I live for comfort, man. Like I don't like going, I don't go to shows. I don't like do all that. You know, I don't waste money on bullshit, you know? So
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like training to me is my passion. But yeah, as far as that, man, I've taken all the information I've gathered. I've experimented on myself. I've used it with my clients. And I've came to the conclusion that, you know, pre-contest, everyone's different. Okay. I may have to pull some of these guys' fats completely. And then another guy, I might have to, you know, add more carbs and it's just completely different. Now for an off-season approach, like you said, like 8,000 calories, like I would never recommend that to anyone. Like my, like the most calories I'd ever recommend in off season is like 4,500 to 5,000. And all you do is, you know, you do less cardio. You're not taking your T3. You're not taking any fat burners. But yeah, it's just, I just used a whole different approach basically. And like I said, if I had to say I'm more like someone diet wise, you know, Mike Arnold, drug wise, Dave Palumbo, except I'm a little bit more high than Dave on the drugs, meaning I'll use a little bit more growth hormone, and I'll use a little bit more compounds. Dave believes in two compounds in off season,
yeah,
like test and EQ, and then like test and trend, and then like test and DECA. Okay. Or like one of my favorite off season cycles is like test, EQ, trend, and Masteron, and all at moderate doses, like a gram of test, 300 Masteron, 300 trend, and like 600 EQ. You know what I mean? So I believe in more compounds at a lower dose.
Yeah, that's not too crazy to me, honestly. I mean, now that's a little bit lower than you had experimented with in the past, isn't it?
Yeah, like I said, man, like there's sometimes where I'll do like moderate dosages for myself and stuff, but I've always responded better to higher dosages. Like right now, my cycle right now, I have it listed out. It's 200 milligrams of EQ acetate every other day, 100 mgs of test prop every other day, 100 mgs of test oil-based suspension every other day, 150 mgs of MPP every other day, 100 mgs of Tren A every other day, 100 mgs of Tren E every other day, and 200 mgs of Mast E every other day. And then the days that I don't shoot those, I'm doing 100 mgs of test water-based suspension with 50 mgs of inject Winstrol every other day.
Wow.
And then as far as orals, I'm doing 50 mgs of Anadrol prior to bed. I take it pre-bed because I don't want it to mess with my digestion.
And I take 65 mg of Provirin every day, Arimidex and Pramipexol. GH, I'm doing 4 IUs 3 times a day. And then post-workout, I'm doing peptides. I'm doing 200 IPAM, 250 HGH frag, and 100 mg of CJC post-workout. So like I said, I run a lot of drugs, but nothing at like an insanely high dose.
Okay. I was going to try to do the math on that. It was like... I got lost halfway through.
It's like 800 EQ acetate, right?
Yeah.
It's about a gram to 1.2 grams a test, all from either prop or water-based and oil-based suspension. So all fast acting, because I'm trying to drop big time weight.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So like right now, man, like I'm 265. I need to be like 235, 230 at the end of the month.
What's your goal for? What are you trying to get down for?
Because I need to do that. I'm doing another 1 year steroid transformation.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so like I'm what I do, man, is I'm too fat now. You can't add calories to a fat guy.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing is I'm going zero. And when I mean this, dude, I mean this too. I'm going zero carbs all of January.
No kidding.
Like when I mean, I don't mean any cheat meals. I mean, literally, man, I'm doing like chicken, oils, steak oils, whole eggs. The keto is the easiest way to lose weight and preserve muscle mass. And people think you lose a ton of muscle on keto because you're flat as shit, right? But They don't understand is when you bring those carbs back, you pop.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So it's not really, you're not losing actual tissue. It's just intercellular water.
So you said you're on, it's an Equipoise acetate?
Yeah, man, it's very rare. I just got this shit, and it's thick as shit. It's like you got to shoot it with like a 22 or a 21.
God.
But and I shoot my test suspension with a 20 gauge, so I'm used to that. But yeah, man, it's called EQ acetate. It's only a few labs carry it, and I got this. It's called Centrino Labs. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but who knows? I mean, like I said, I'm just giving it a run.
Yeah, no kidding, man. How long you been on that one for?
4 days. I took all of December off. I was doing one cc a test every 10 days. That's okay. It.
No kidding.
And then I started on January 2nd.
Well, you'll have to keep me posted. I've only ever heard of EQ acetate before. I know that it's really hard, like you said, to find. And from what I understood, they had some in the past. I had seen it around like, I'm going to say a decade ago, and the only stuff they had out was like super, super painful and people couldn't deal with
it. That's what I heard, man. I heard EQ acetate is like super painful, but believe it or not, this stuff is like super damn thick and it doesn't hurt. So it's, I don't know, man, it could be fake. I don't know, man. I just went, I mean, who knows? Like majority of the shit that people take is like underdosed anyways. You know what I mean?
Sure. Sure. Which doesn't make sense, man, because I mean, it's not like the stuff is expensive to produce, you know?
Yeah, honestly, man, I trust China more than I do Americans.
Sure, like, sure.
I trust the Chinese raws. I don't trust the people making it in America.
No, of course not. But yeah, I totally agree with that, man.
Yeah.
So you were saying you're using, was it 4 units of growth 3 times a day?
Correct. And I'm doing 2 IUs of Humatrope and 2 IUs of generic Somastim, which comes out of Israel. So I'm mixing them. I'm doing 2 IUs of Huma. And then 2, I use a Somastim 3 times a day.
No kidding. What are your thoughts about the brands out there available right now on growth?
Well, that's the thing. So there's tons that, you know, you hear, everyone's different. Everyone's like, oh, the gray tops and the black tops from the provider are the best. And then you got guys are saying Somastim is great.
Yeah.
You guys got putting up blood tests saying that their levels were great on this. And then you got the same guy saying that they got their levels done and it was shit from that lab. So basically that makes me come to the conclusion that it's hit or miss on Chinese GH. You can get a good batch or a shitty, you know, a great batch or a shitty batch. But basically I've always stuck with, for the last about year now, I've done Humatrope ever since I started prepping for my show last year.
Okay.
And I've done like 4 to 6 IUs, and I know that's real. It comes from Turkey. And then I kind of just add stuff onto that. You know what I mean? To see how I feel.
Right on. So what was this whole growth hormone addiction you were talking about before the show?
So I went through a phase, and it was a very sad phase of my life for me. I was driving her nuts, like telling her, I was like, I can't believe I'm wasting this much money on growth. Like I was just going nuts, right? And the end result is I made absolutely zero progress. So I want everyone to listen to this one.
Okay.
So I started off with like, about 4 to 6 IUs of Humatrope, and about 6 IUs of the Grey Top GHs. And I was like, you know what? I started hearing reviews online. Everyone was like, oh, this brand is great. This brand is great. So what I did is I went on a crazy shopping spree. I bought like 10, I bought like 1,000 IUs from this source, 1,000 IUs from that source, 1,000 IUs. Right now in my fridge, I probably have at least 7 different GHs, 8 different GHs. Okay.
Man, okay.
I even have Sizen, Nordies, and Genotropins coming in too. And I told myself my New Year's resolution was I won't buy any more growth hormone because I have enough growth hormone to last me for about 3-4 years.
Oh, geez.
So I went crazy, man. So I went on this addiction because everyone's like, the more GH, the better, right? So I got all these labs, right? And I was doing like, 4 IUs of each GH, like 3 to 4 times a day. I got up to about 8 IUs. I got up to 8 IUs farm and 25 IUs generic.
Wow.
Yeah. And honestly, I was tired.
I bet.
Sluggish. I'm just like we said, I wasn't running that much insulin. I was only running insulin about a couple times a week. Right.
Okay.
So my body wasn't even processing the carbs and I was just like bloated. Like I would like eat like a tiny meal and I would look like one of those like guys with like a huge distended gut. So the moral of the story is I don't care what people say. Like my personal experience is like more GH is definitely not better. Like, I don't know where the, like, I think there's a point, like, I know these guys are running 10 to 15 IUs a farm and I think that's fine. But when you start doing crazy generics, when you don't know what's actually in the generics, because there could be tons of peptides, they could be, you know, growth hormone fillers that make your blood results look better than what they are.
Sure.
You don't know what's in them. So if you're taking pure farm, you can get away with 10 to 15 IUs. But when you start taking, you know, generics, you don't know what's really in them. So then you could start getting like side effects and shit like that. So I wouldn't do that because I remember me like, you know, what I would do when I had my best results is I would do one generic for about 8 weeks or no, I would do one generic for about 6 to 8 weeks and then I'd switch generics. And then from based on that, I would figure out what my body responded to better. And then I would stick with the one that reacted better and I would just use that. So I think that's the best way is just take one and see what you like better instead of mixing. Cause I was mixing like 5 to 6 different GHs every day.
Yeah. And then you really wouldn't be able to tell, you know, what you're getting from what at that point.
Yeah. I was just tired. My workouts were at the all time worst. I mean, like I was going into the gym like a zombie. I didn't put on any muscle mass and this lasted for 2 months. Like some of the GH I got for free, you know, but man, it was getting expensive. I was spending a shit ton of money on growth, but I'm glad I did it. And you know what I did, man? I'm so weird and I'm so cheap. I'm like, all right, well, I wasted all this money on growth hormone. I'm just not going to run any GH for December and not train. So it'll kind of make up for the IUs I lost. So I felt good about it.
Yeah. I spoke to Dave Crossland some time ago. Are you familiar with him?
I've heard of him. Yes.
He's over in the UK. His goal was to reach 400 pounds. And believe me, he was running so much gear. If you get a chance, check out his movie Under Construction and Under Construction 2. They're actually really interesting films. But man, it was dark too because he was pushing a ton of gear. And I know he was using I can't remember, but it was like 25-30 units of human grade growth hormone. And he said that it just made him feel terrible. Just like he was tired all the time, like you said. And the water retention was really bad too.
Yeah, see, so I'm glad I'm not the only one that's like tried that shit. So,
oh yeah,
I do know though, man. I do know by like actual people that have trained these people that like the top guys like at the Olympia are running like anywhere from like 10 to 15 IUs.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think that's too crazy, you know.
A farm. They're not doing like generics and shit.
Sure, sure. I mean, yeah, for that level, man. I mean, I guess that doesn't surprise me. Maybe some of the listeners might be surprised. I don't know.
No, it's not surprising because I know guys are running less and they're running more. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure. Yeah, I know some people that that are on the pro level that run far less, and obviously, you know, there's guys that are probably taking a ton more.
I know guys that are pros that have never even touched growth hormone or insulin. They're just black. They're black though. They're
no kidding. But, so you have a lot of guys that I think are attracted to you that are younger because you're a younger guy. And yeah. They're listening to you. They're listening to what you say, and they're following your advice. What would you tell them here? Some of these guys that maybe are very new to gear, and they're thinking like, "Oh, this is what Boston's doing, and I want to look like Boston." You know,
I don't think anyone wants to look like me. I got a big scar on my arm. I look like shit. But if somebody came to me, man, and I get this a lot, the best thing I tell them to do is I don't tell them, and I'm not one of those guys. It's like, hire me. I don't even really promote my training because I'm at that point where it's like, I like to know every, you know, story of my client. I like to know every client's name. I don't want to get too busy, but yeah. I always tell people the best advice I can give someone is at a young age, because I wish I did this when I was like 17 before I started messing with pro hormones, is hire someone knowledgeable. And it doesn't have to be a big time name. Hire someone that's decently knowledgeable that you could do like small monthly payments to, and, you know, learn and, you know, first nail your nutrition, because that's the first thing you need to get down. Make sure you're eating six small portions a day at least, and, you know, just get that down first. And then, you know, start training. And once you hit a plateau and you think you're ready for the dark side, then definitely you need to hire someone to help you and advise you on that, because you definitely don't want to go into it not knowing anything and screwing yourself up. Because like I said, man, I had bad gyno. I was lactating everywhere when I was 17 because I was just following my own advice.
Yeah.
I would look on the back of a bottle and it was like, oh, well, if I take 2, 6 must be better. So I would take 6 and my nipples were leaking everywhere. So, I mean, like I said, I would say the best advice is just hire someone knowledgeable.
Nice. That sounds really responsible to me, man.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, and like people think I'm like all about the drugs. It's like, it's just that drugs are interesting.
Yeah.
And like nutrition is interesting too. It's very interesting to me. And I like to talk about, but to me, training, I don't feel like there's much, you know, there's not much interest in it. Cause it's like, you know, like you said, you got guys that are marketing themselves for their training programs, like Fortitude and all that stuff. But if you talk to the main big guys out there, they're sticking with heavy compound movements. What's, you know, tried and proven, you know, like I talk to Phil Hernon a lot, you know,
okay.
And it's just the main, the shit, just lift heavy as you can for 8 to 10 reps. You want to be failing at, you know, almost every set, I feel like you should be failing. And I feel like that's how you get your best gains.
Here's my prediction. I'm going to give you 5 more years, and then I want to interview you again and ask you the exact same question about training. And I want to see where you're at then.
Are you saying your training is higher volume? Is that what you're saying?
No, just that I believe that after you've done it for a longer period of time, that training needs to become more specific in some way. That for me and for the guys that I've trained that are, say, like in their 40s, that what works changes over time, and that doing the thing that always worked doesn't necessarily continue working. So
yeah, I always, you know, tell people like switch up their meaning, like the don't do the same program every week, like change it up, meaning, you know, if you do flat bench 1 week, you know, do incline, but stick with the main movements. But yeah, I mean, like I said, maybe I will, but maybe I won't. But I especially preach for guys with fast metabolisms like yourself to keep it short and intense, because if you're training too long, you're just going to be burning, you know, more calories.
Sure, sure. So tell me a little bit about your businesses. You mentioned the peptide company.
Yeah, so, well, I was with Transformix, you know, peptides, and what happened there, it's just sad. I made a video about that. The people just got real greedy, and the quality went to shit, and I just left the company, you know, even though they were paying me very, very well. Money to me is nothing like that. I mean, I'm more about the moral aspect of it. So I left them, and I invested a ton of money, man. I invested like 50 to 60K into my new company, 3CC Research Labs. Me and my partner, we both invested about 50K to start it up. And that's including my 3CC products too. I won't expand. I have a pre-workout because I use, you know, stimulants and pre-workouts every day. I have a branch chain for during my workout, which I use every day. And then I also have the crack 2.0, which is a focused stimulant pill. And I won't come out with anything new. I'm not trying to like be a brand. I just want to have a few products that work that I personally use every day, you know?
Nice.
But I have that going on. I have the peptides. Obviously the peptides sell very well. As far as the supplements, I haven't promoted the supplements at all. I'm going to start promoting them at the new, in a couple of weeks probably.
Okay.
Next week. But like I said, man, it's going good. My Synthol company keeps growing every year. I remember I used to sell like one bottle every couple of weeks. Now I'm averaging about 5 to 6 bottles a day.
Nice.
Yeah.
What do you think about the while I got you on that topic, what do you think about the newer, like the Metaform, the hyaluronic acid Synthol?
You know what? I think I know who came out with that. Nobody knows. I think it's Aaron Singerman.
You think so?
Yeah, I think he came out with that. But anyways, I have no knowledge on that. All I know is it's overpriced because I've looked at their prices. It's absolutely insane what they're asking. And I don't know, man. I feel like generic synthol works amazing for stretching the fascia. I'm not going to switch from it.
What kind of protocol would you suggest for oil-based synthol oil?
The same exact one that Dave Plumbo had me on doing years ago. It's just a couple times a week. Each bicep head twice a week, and then only the fatty head of your tricep three times a week for the first 3 weeks.
Okay.
And then you just pin your biceps once, and then and then you do your triceps twice after that. Very small.
Nice. But what's the URL for your sites?
For the synthol, it's www.bigdaddyb.com. And that's under my store. And I also have a member section with a forum that's been going great. And I actually made that for kids, for young kids. It's only $12.99 a month. There's no bashing or you'll get banned. It's just straight helping. I got a nutrition section, a miscellaneous section, a training section. I even have a gear sources section so kids aren't buying garbage. Like I said, I'm on there every day now helping kids with questions. I kind of feel good about it. It's kind of fun for me.
Nice, man. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And
I have a couple little businesses, and I don't plan on expanding because I enjoy, you know, having family time with Ariella and stuff. I don't like travel. Like, I don't travel at all, man. Like, I don't even leave my house. I hate it. So, like, for me, it's like I work from the house, and I love doing that. Like, I don't know how some of these guys like Jay Cutler like travels 30 weeks out of the year. Like, I don't know what I would do.
Yeah, no kidding, man. If people wanted to reach out to you for training, how would they get a hold of you for that?
Well, on the BigDaddyB.com site, I have my services page on there, but they could always send me an email too, and my email is listed on my website under the contact form.
Okay, right on, man. Well, Boston, this has been pretty cool, man. Is there anything here that I'm missing that I should be asking you about?
No, I think we covered everything. I think everyone would really, you know, enjoy listening to some of that.
All right, brother. Well, Boston, thanks for being here. For Advices Radio, this is Scott McNally.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Advices Radio, which is here at the Advices Radio Network. Make sure you come back because later in the week, we're going to have a brand new episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear. Of course, S2H, Ken Skip Hill, and myself will be there. And to kick that show off, we started out with an hour-long interview with Nathan Payton. Nathan is the nutrition coach to four-time World's Strongest Man and current World's Strongest Man, Brian Shaw. So after that, we knock out questions from the Advices Radio forums. So guys, make sure you come back and check that show out. It's going to be a killer. It's like 3 hours long. So I know there's a few of you out there, White Ox, that have been asking for longer shows. That is definitely going to be a longer show. So make sure you come back for that. And at the end of the week, don't forget to go over to bodybuildingnerds.com and listen to episode 92, which will be out on Friday. If these niggas animals, then I'ma have a mink soon. Tell them bitches I say put my name on the wall. I speak the truth, but I guess that's a foreign language to y'all. And I call it like I see it, and my glasses on. But most of y'all don't get the picture unless the flash is on. Satisfied with nothing, you don't know the half of it. Young money, cash money. Paper chaser, tell that paper look, I'm right behind ya. Bitch, real G's moving silence like lasagna. People say I'm bored.